Good afternoon and welcome to Who's in the Kitchen. I'm Philothea Beeson and you're listening to WDRT Community Radio from Viroqua, Wisconsin, the Driftless area, southwestern Wisconsin, and streaming live on the internet at WTRT.org. And our call letters are 91.9 FM. We're a community radio station, 99% volunteers. We just had a pledge drive yesterday, and I'm wondering how did we do, Jim? Pretty darn good. I tuned in at about 4 and heard they had a few thousand dollars left to go, but we are a community supported radio station. Just listeners support this radio station, and it's been going for, 15 years? Yeah. So Jim is my engineer. Jim is one of the founders of the radio station. We've been working together for a long time. And Who's in the Kitchen managed to be one of the first shows on the air and continues to this day. So I have the privilege of talking with Jennifer Capinas from North Crawford School. She is the North Crawford Food Service Director, and I read an article recently in the Crawford County Independent, and I was so interested in what she's doing at North Crawford that I really wanted to have her in the show, because who's in the kitchen? Well, Jennifer is in the kitchen. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and she just said yes right away, which I loved here. The food is really, it's a big part of our lives. I think we were talking about how we didn't even have the word foodie about, 20 years ago. People are really interested in food. They're interested in, how it affects their health. They're interested in where food comes from much more than people used to be. They want to know, they're interested in seasonal cooking and eating local food and, just a lot of issues that really, when I was growing up, this wasn't even discussed, but I think food is very much on people's minds. And we've grown in, more national, international kinds of tastes, sharing that, and we have, all kinds of ethnic restaurants, even in little towns like Viroqua. So lots of food in the grocery stores and in the convenience stores. I mean, there's all kinds of ethnic food available. And then people want to learn how to cook it. And then we also have developing tastes among the students. And there's an interest also in organic food and where does your food come from and how is it raised? And then how is it transported, and how are the people paid that raise that food? I mean, there's just so many issues about food, and it does come down to the schools, who have a huge influence on the children and the families influence the school program, I'm sure. So we're going to talk about that today, and Jennifer just has just such an active interest in the food program. I just really enjoyed getting to know her. So first I want to know, Jennifer, did you grow up around here in this area?
I did not. I'm actually from Colorado.
Oh, okay.
That's where I grew up until I was about 20. And I was here visiting a friend in college and met my now husband. And as they say, the rest is history. I've been here ever since.
And he was from Waseca?
He's from Waseca, yes.
Yeah, so that's not far from Boscobel. Just right. down the river a little mm-hmm. bit. And so that's a great story. And you've been in the area ever since?
I've been in the area ever since. Raised my kids here and essentially, I've lived here longer than I lived in Colorado.
Right. Mm-hmm. Me too. Same story. I lived here way longer than I lived with my parents in Virginia. Mm-hmm. I found Vernon County, fell in love with it, never moved.
And it is a great area.
Oh, it really is. And it's a great, great small farm area, great organic area. We have a lot of interesting enterprises. I was just at a meeting, the annual meeting of the Vernon Economic Development Association in Viroqua, which is a private nonprofit organization which has focused on developing businesses related to food in the area. And they bought the old NCR building, which was really rotting and molding, and they got that cleaned up. and turned it into the Food Enterprise Center. And I was just so impressed. I've done a number of interviews with people involved over there, but, you know, some of them are like Kickapoo Coffee, which is now...
Mm-hmm. Wonderstate.
Wonderstate
Yes.
Coffee. Yes. Wonderstate Coffee started out in, you know, just a little tiny place, and then they bought the railroad station, the little station on the railroad tracks, and that's where they did their roasting. And then they got a place in the Food Enterprise Center where they have a really beautiful area, their factory and their tasting area. Then there's Lusa Organics, which is mostly organic cosmetics. Then there was Physiology, which is fermented food, which is still going. There was Wisco Pop, which has changed brand names now. But they started there, and it just I'm leaving off many, many businesses. It's a kind of a startup for people who want to get into the food business. It's kind of an incubation place, and that way you don't have all your Driftless Provisions, which is a meat curing facility. And so with not having to buy and, you know, have your brick and mortar and all that involved in your business, you're able to be at the Food Enterprise Center.
Yeah, really, I love that.
Oh, it's a wonderful idea. I was so, so impressed. So shout out to Vida and Sue Noble, who just had the vision to do it. And it's another thing that's totally private supported. It has no government funding at all. And but a person with vision and helps people the way they need to be helped. So that was pretty exciting, and just makes me realize what a very special area we have here. Of course, Organic Valley is not too far away,
right,
over in Lafarge, Cashton, and some very nice, interesting businesses that have been started here, food businesses in Viroqua, and are getting some attention.
Mm-hmm.
Getting some attention. The Wisconsin foodie host is from this area.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he took over the Driftless Cafe. And now I saw recently that he's going to be featuring maybe lately on his show, Wisconsin Foodie, maybe lately as a restaurant here in Viroqua.
Yes.
And so, and he has also been on my show. So anyway, I think food is where it's at.
I completely agree.
I have just had so much fun doing it. So now I don't want to do too much talking because I really want to talk with Jennifer. But okay, so when did you get into food? Did you study for food service or?
I did not. I studied business. Prior to working at North Crawford, I was the chairperson for the Salvation Army in Crawford County for 15 years. And within that program, it was very apparent the food insecurity in the county. So I was actually helping North Crawford families long before I went to work for North Crawford. So just with everyday basic needs for food and clothing and helping pay bills, I started a Christmas program there that I'm really proud of that I ran for those 15 years, getting Christmas presents to thousands of kids in Crawford County over the years. And then in times of disasters, flooding and gas mills and things, we were doing emergency food services. I always, always loved to cook, and I've always found joy in feeding people. That's my thing.
Oh.
And people know when you come to my house or you come to my kitchen at school, this is what I love to do. So especially for people that were in need, like, I mean, getting kids fed, or not just kids, but anybody fed that needs it, is such an essential. So I sort of found my passion there in emergency food services, and realizing people that need emergency food services, not just from the food pantry, but in any outlet that we can give to them, were needing healthier food options. Not just processed foods, but things that were more sustainable for them. So that sort of got me thinking. There was a job opportunity at North Crawford, and I was ready for a change. So I was really excited to step into the role of food service director for the North Crawford School District. And I've been there, I just celebrated my sixth year. So
great. And so for people who don't know North Crawford, I mean, how many families are enrolled or two students enrolled?
We have last count, and we are pre-K through 12 in one building, one beautiful building. A last count, I think we were like 420 students. So we're a smaller district, but we also have a child care program. We have a daycare center there that we also feed those kids and care for those kids. And I think that there's about 45 kids in the daycare center, which is new. We've had the daycare up and running for a couple of years now, which has met a very essential need in the community.
I bet. Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, I was part of the Rocca Daycare Center for many years. And so I know that food is a big, big part of that. I mean, this is where kids get fed.
Yes.
And you know, it's good to pay attention to that.
Yeah, so we have a lot of little mouths to feed as well.
You know, this is really interesting because almost my show today was going to be on the food pantry. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't schedule out right. But you were doing something with Salvation Army, which made you, you know, you had connection mm-hmm. with food pantries.
Yep.
I didn't really realize how much these were needed.
Yeah.
And I was just at the Viroqua Food Pantry, Living mm-hmm. Faith Food Pantry, which is a wonderful food pantry, but there are many around the area. And they're kind of in a crisis right now because there is just funding is kind of, you know, draining away, and supplies on the shelves are diminishing. So there's a big, big need, and I am going to highlight that on a future show. But I hadn't really thought about the Salvation Army. Of course, that's what they do. They feed people. That's one of the main things they do, right? Yep. And then finding housing. Temporary mm-hmm. housing, you know, shelter.
Yeah, we were just meeting the needs, whatever they were. And it's different in a smaller community than you would find Salvation Army in La Crosse or Madison. I mean, our kind of unit there is literally just, you know, a couple of people. I partnered with the Sheriff's Department, the Prairie du Chien City Police, to see who needs what and what we can do mm-hmm. and...
Well, did they even have a building? A brick and mortar? No. You're people.
Yes.
You're just people.
Yep, just
coordinating
people.
Resources.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no, you know, not anywhere necessarily to show up to. If you needed a hotel voucher or overnight, you would go to the police department. Otherwise, you know, I was literally just out and about trying to help people. And then, of course, when I left, there's new people now that are taking care of that. They're absolutely doing a wonderful job, too.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Well, so one of the things you found out when you got into school, that, you know, the food service has really changed since when I went to school, maybe when you went to school. There were lots of ladies in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. They had been making mashed potatoes and green beans and meat, chicken, you know, beef stew or whatever. And I was really shocked a few years ago into school in Madison. It was all food courts. Mm-hmm. It was completely fast food.
Yeah.
Instant food. And no ladies in the cafeteria, you know. And then in between is just sort of buying your food from Sysco, like you say, heat and serve.
Yep.
And so now it sounds like you and others are getting interested in, hey, maybe we should be making food.
Yeah. So
making
when I started, there's kind of, for public school, there's kind of two main sources for food. One is your government commodities. So every school district that's in the National School Breakfast and Lunch Program has a specific dollar amount that they can spend on what we call our USDA commodities. So a lot of that is some fresh fruit and vegetables, frozen fruit and vegetables, and canned fruit. But it's also a lot of really highly processed meat. So this would be like your hamburger patties, highly processed, or your chicken nuggets, that kind of thing. So when I started, which was in April, and commodities are ordered every year in February for the next school year. So like I just order commodities in February for next year's school year. So when I started, I was sort of already built into what we were having that year and for the next year because those had been ordered. And I was really, really shocked to see the stuff that was being provided to us was so highly processed. It's definitely not what I was used to at school. And I, of course, was just coming in and learning the program. But I was like, really, from the USDA that supports all of our agriculture in this country, this is very highly processed food.
Well, it's to have a long shelf life.
Exactly.
To be able to ship all over the world. Yeah. Or, you know.
Yeah.
And... yes, the commodities, divine commodities. Is this surplus or what is commodity?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not – that's. I mean, I have the same question because it's not commodities as you would think of like farm commodities. But it's – like I said, there is – this is interesting because we do have a program. It's called DOD Fresh. And that's where we would get all of our fresh fruits and vegetables. And DOD is Department of Defense. So the Department of Defense has this program, which is odd if you think about it. Why the Department of Defense? And I don't have the answer for that. But it is Department of Defense. And they so we have a truck that comes every week with what we put on our salad bar and have fruit for breakfast, which is great. And that comes off this allocation we get for our commodities. So the other commodity items we get would be, you know, chicken nuggets, chicken patties for sandwiches. We get a lot of canned fruit, frozen vegetables. If that's what you choose, you have like a whole list of things you can order from. So I don't really order any of the highly processed things anymore. Although we do rely on some canned fruit for budgetary reasons, but we don't serve that in the mornings. So it's an interesting amount of items. But we do put a lot of our allocation into the DOD Fresh, the fresh stuff. And then what we can't get from there, we try to order from locally. But to my point, I was so surprised about the quality of food that we were getting. So I started, and then 10 months into my role as director, COVID hit. Which was a whole thing. We immediately switched from having kids at school to delivering food to doing a pickup service, and it was a very crazy time. And not long into that process, we started seeing really severe shortages in the food service chain, and that was becoming a major issue for us, and not just at North Crawford, but in the grocery store for people and for every school district. It was panic. We don't know what we're going to feed these kids. So we started seeing from the federal government what we called supply chain assistance funds and local food for schools funds. And that was grant money to start buying foods locally because we couldn't get it from the big supply chain. So that was awesome. And when I had started and realized the quality of food, I was like, We should be able to do better. But then it was COVID, and it was just kind of a weird time. Well, we got this money and immediately started building some partnerships with our local farmers, local producers.
Really?
Yes. And then the kids were making comments like, is this real meat? It sure is. and then also because all the meals during COVID were free. We had universal free meals, which I am a huge supporter of and advocate of. We saw increased participation, and participation is what drives our revenue. So now we're bringing in more money, and now we can afford to improve meal quality because of that. So we don't have to rely on all canned vegetables or frozen vegetables. Okay, now we have extra funds. We can start making more fresher meals. And that's sort of where it took off.
Well, that was a silver lining of the whole COVID issue.
Definitely. Definitely.
Wow.
So, yeah, we started getting these extra funds. Our participation had increased. So now we have more revenue, which it allowed us to get, you know, more staffing, better equipment, fresher foods. It was just a win. And COVID is obviously cringy and nobody wants to talk about COVID, but for school food service, that was a
government response to try to help people,
yes,
who are really in a crisis. And I'm going to just take a little break here. You're listening to Who's in the Kitchen on WDRT Community Radio 91.9 FM and streaming live on the internet at WDRT.org, where you can go and listen to this show and previous shows on the archives. And I'm talking with Jennifer Capinas, who is the Food Service Director at North Crawford School District here in southwestern Wisconsin. North Crawford Crawford County and Vernon County kind of have the reputation of being some of the lowest income counties, mm-hmm, in the state. And North Crawford is just like, you know, 400, 450 students. This is not a huge, you know, and we're really in a farming area.
Yeah.
It's still farming area or rural area. Not everybody is farming anymore because farms have gone through a big transformation and a lot of people have lost their farms in the last, probably the last 10 or 20 years. And so it's a community that's had, you know, has experienced some poverty. And Jennifer got interested in this actually by being involved in Salvation Army, which was really interesting to me. I didn't even know there was Salvation Army out here. And now I realize, well, it isn't a big building or anything. It's people. Mm-hmm. People helping people. And so this made Jennifer aware of the need for good nutrition, for not, you know, for families, for kids. And now she is at North Crawford School, and I think that's a wonderful place for her to be, and she's really having a chance to evaluate what's been going on and maybe have an influence, choose what you're going to order for food, maybe train staff. I mean, I'm sure as you were just getting into, you got some money from the government because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of get us through this difficult period, and that made it possible for you to increase equipment and maybe employment in the kitchen. Because what has happened over the years is we've gone more and more to heat and serve type of food, which meant you didn't need so many people in the kitchen.
Right.
But you also, what do? Just put an oven, microwave. I have no idea what they do in schools, but if you're going to prepare your own food, you need big cookers, you need big ovens, you need. So let's talk about what you had to do and what you were able to do with this money that you got.
Yeah, well, truly, when I had first started it, we were primarily a heat and serve kitchen. So it was, do we have the right equipment and do we have staff trained to do scratch cooking? And the answer to both of those was pretty much no.
No.
So once we started to build up a few funds, we were able to look at some new equipment, and we were able to replace all of our ovens with upgraded ovens. We have a combi oven, which is really beautiful, and it has all kinds of features from, you know, air frying to steaming to roasting to, you know, grilling, which really was we were able to start. We had hamburger patties from raw fresh meat, but we don't have a grill. But in the combi oven, you can put it on your sheet pans and grill it right in the oven, which is really awesome.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying, and I read in this article, mm-hmm. I mean, getting meat in patties, pre-made patties, mm-hmm. is really different from getting meat and actually shaping, forming it, cooking it the way you want. There's so much more diversity if you just get the meat.
Yes. And of course, we have just ground beef, too, that we utilize a lot. But yeah, time-wise and labor-wise, much better for us to buy it in pre-formed patties, we found. So
so how would you heat those? When you say heat and serve, what are you doing? Putting them on a sheet?
So yeah,
pan
so the,
and just
so
heating
the,
them or what?
Yeah, so the fresh ground beef patties, we are putting them on a lined sheet pan and then we season them up and we put them in our combi on a grill setting, and it just literally grills them right in the oven. You set how you want them to look, time and temp, and how mm-hmm. light or dark you want them, and yeah, we just grill them right in there. Ideally, we would have a big flat top grill, but we don't we don't have the space for that. So, although when I've used one when we take our sixth graders to Badger Camp in Grant County, they have a big flat top grill, and I love grilling up the hamburgers and pancakes in there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Even just the idea of pancakes instead of getting them out of a package. I don't know. How did you reheat? When you say heat and serve, how did you heat things?
In the oven. Yeah. Just baking everything essentially. Mm. We also have two steamer ovens, which are nice. So we were steaming things, baking things. And we still do, you know, throw in pans of French fries, and you know, we're never going to be able to completely abandon chicken nuggets, and the kids love those, and we have to keep up participation, but you know, it's where we can swap out and add, you know, more scratch cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So we started upgrading our equipment, and then it came to, okay, we need to have training here. We need to have people that want to be able to do this, and veteran staff that's worked there many years that haven't been doing this. So so what do we do, you know? And I wouldn't have felt comfortable asking anyone of my staff to do something that I wasn't willing to do first. So it was a lot of me jumping in the kitchen, testing recipes, testing methods, writing recipes. The USDA requires us to have what we call a standardized recipe for school, and that's kind of a real technical recipe with different safeguards in there. So it was writing those, testing things out on students. What do we like? What do we don't like? One thing we found was that a lot of families aren't scratch cooking at home anymore.
That's true.
Yes.
Yes. So where are the kids ever having anything real?
Right. So it presented the issue that the kids a lot of times didn't know what we were having. They weren't used to the taste and texture of things, and they weren't sure about it. So we would sometimes do taste testing before we provided it as a meal, and the kids would be pretty excited about taste testing.
That's great.
Yeah, and it's fun. So, but it's a barrier. People don't make casseroles at home anymore. So if we're making these things, the kids are like, what the heck is goulash, you know?
Right.
So that was a barrier. And it was a lot of education with students to get to that point. 2 years ago, we got a really big grant called the Healthy Meal Incentive Grant. And this was backed by the Action for Healthy Kids and the Chef Anne Foundation. And the point of the grant was to improve meal quality, increase scratch cooking, and reduce sugar. A lot of our breakfasts were highly processed, packaged things. And in particular to me, this was an issue.
What was an issue?
The highly processed breakfast. Really prepackaged things, a lot of things that were had to be whole grain, but to make them taste good, were really loaded with sugar.
Oh, I see. So what kind of products would those be? Baked foods?
Yeah, like pastry type things.
Mm.
And there's no requirement from the USDA. There is now, but then there was no protein at breakfast component. It was whole grain item, fruit, and milk. That was the requirements for breakfast. So now it's changed, and we can do a protein at breakfast or a whole grain or both. And of course, always fruit and milk. So pretty much, you know, and this is kind of a standard for school breakfast, is to have something, a prepackaged whatever, pastry, donut, type of a thing. And they were so filled with sugar because otherwise the whole grains were not going to taste good. And this really, this particular thing really bothered me. I just thought this is not a good way to start your day.
I'm sure teachers could tell you that too.
They absolutely did agree with that. So with the Healthy Meals Incentive Grant, and we got an additional grant from DPI, from the Department of Public Instruction, called the Breakfast Expansion Grant, with the same goal in mind, to get rid of the processed packaged foods for breakfast. So that was something that we really started working on a few years ago, was how can we eliminate that? And that's wildly successful. And so this school year, we have completely eliminated all highly processed breakfast foods.
How did you do that? I'm trying to picture what you would have. What did you serve then?
Well, we still do offer a cereal option, because some kids, they're only going to get cereal no matter what. We don't serve too many cereal eaters though anymore. The kids really want a hot meal, and they want protein in the morning. So we now only serve fresh fruit at breakfast, and a hot breakfast every day. So it's, you know, pancakes, waffles. We do like a waffle bar with whipped topping and strawberries and pancakes and sausage and French toast.
Sounding like a nice restaurant now.
Yeah, scrambled eggs and biscuits, that kind of thing.
So eggs would be part of that.
Yes.
Protein. So
yes.
What other proteins were you focusing on?
So mostly eggs, cheeses. We'll have cottage cheese on the menu this month for the first time at breakfast. See how that goes over. Breakfast sandwiches with sausage, eggs, cheese,
sausage.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And eggs. Okay.
Yeah. And that has gone over really well.
But they love that.
Yeah. Well, they, parents do. I mean, of course, our high school kids always want to have an opinion on, you know, nobody likes anything some days. But, and again, it was a lot of recipe testing to figure out what really do kids want to eat, you know? And as we were slowly incorporating new things, we still had we had a few scratch breakfast days, and we still had a few packaged breakfast days just to try to ease into it. And what we found is that the kids didn't want the grab-and-go packaged breakfast anymore. Those were our lowest participation days.
What's grab-and-go?
Grab-and-go would be like your packaged breakfast. So it'd be like you're just grabbing, you know, a pastry, grabbing, you know, a
Are they wrapped in plastic?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that was another thing I didn't like is warming things up in plastic. This bothered me tremendously too. And there's so many options that way. I mean, it'd be an endless amount of options if we wanted to have grab and go things that were wrapped in plastic or that we were heating up in plastic. And I just didn't feel good about that either. And the waste, and it just didn't seem healthy. So it's not a perfect breakfast program yet. You know, we're still learning. We're still figuring things out. You know, high school really loves biscuits and gravy. Elementary, I can't sell it to them. I mean, they aren't familiar with it. So,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So,
well, is it still like a cafeteria style? Do you get a tray and you come through?
Absolutely.
And do you get to choose what you have? You know, the men and women behind the steam tables and everything.
Yep. Yeah.
Do you want this and that?
Yep.
And so they pick things out.
Yeah. And sometimes we do like a breakfast bowl where we'd have potatoes, roasted potatoes and scrambled eggs, and then various toppings. Mm-hmm. That's kind of fun to do. And the kids get to pick specifically how they want things to be made then. And, it's kind of a fun one.
So. I've got some great recipe ideas I'm going to share with you.
not
on the show, but afterwards, things that I found are just, you know, really liked by a lot of people and not known very much.
Yeah.
But then it takes more staff to do this.
It does.
Hey, cutting up fruit.
Yes.
Preparing the different eggs or whatever.
It does. So I usually come in around 5 in the morning and get breakfast going, and then the next person doesn't come in until 6:30. So that gives me a whole, you know, hour and a half to get the breakfast started, and sometimes it just depends on what we're having. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's not. So if we're having more of a scratch lunch, we're probably going to have an easier breakfast just to allow time to make all that work.
Right.
Okay. And that's kind of when I'm talking to other school districts that want to incorporate scratch cooking into breakfast or lunch. I'm like, well, you can't really have a scratch breakfast and a scratch-made lunch on the same day. It just doesn't really work. Time and staff wise. So, you know, we have to switch it around a little bit.
Yeah.
And so one item the kids really like is our breakfast pizza that we make from scratch. And I had heard about this contest, recipe contest for school nutrition, and it's led by JTM Food Group. And so I was really interested in this. I like to get the community involved in what we're doing. So after a bunch of trials and testing stuff out on the kids, I came up with this breakfast pizza recipe and entered this contest. And so to get through the first round, this was last school year, to get to the first round, you need votes. So you send in your recipe, and then JTM Food Group makes it, and you kind of get into the top 20, and then they have kids testing it and people voting, and you get into the top 10. And then the community votes on it, and the championship is at the School Nutrition Association annual conference, which last summer was in Boston. So I went to Boston for this contest, and this is a national contest. So schools from all over the country are in this. So I went to Boston, which was amazing. I love that. I love Boston. So the conference, which was also really fun. But I end up winning a national championship there for this breakfast pizza, which was really
amazing.
Fun. Yes, really, really fun and exciting. And then another time there was a fundraiser for helping families pay off a student meal debt. And this was a sandwich throwdown. This was also a national contest. So I developed a pork banh mi sandwich for the contest.
A what?
Pork banh mi sandwich. So it's like like a, it's a Vietnamese pork sandwich.
Oh, okay.
Thinly sliced pork that's marinated and pickled vegetables. I love pickled vegetables on a toasted baguette. And I ended up, it's also like you can win by popular vote. So I ended up going up against a school district in Kansas that had like 70,000 people. And and there was all kinds of people in the contest, but every school district, there was New York City, there was all these people. I got enough votes in this contest to get second place.
Yay!
Which was, that just is a testament to our community that if you ask people to help me to vote to get to these things and to raise funds, they're going to do it. So we ended up making enough from the fundraiser to pay off all of our student meal debt that year because of this sandwich throwdown contest, which was
Oh, tell me how you make fun. A pork banh mi sandwich.
Yeah, so it's traditionally, I think it's traditionally, it's supposed to be pork. So I was using pork loin and slicing it thin, and then you marinate it and a bunch of different things. It's like soy sauce and fish sauce and spices, and then grilling it. And I put I had a sauce on there, and now I can't remember what was in it. It was like a mayonnaise with like gochujang and rice wine vinegar. And then pickled vegetables.
And this is something North Crawford students liked?
Well, I don't know.
You hadn't really run it by the students.
I did for high school, but it's so hard to gauge sometimes if they really like things. So well, I served it to all the staff, and it went over really well. So I know and this last year when I had served it to students, I think that they liked it. It's not it's so hard to tell with them sometimes. Yeah. Yesterday we did a Korean beef rice bowl, and I did brown rice with Korean beef, and I made these pickled Asian cucumbers and carrots, and then like a sauce on it, and green onions and cilantro. It was really beautiful, and some of the kids were like, "Well, it was kind of sweet," which is kind of the essence of Korean beef because the sauce has brown sugar. But it was fun. It was something different to do, and some of the high school kids have expressed that they want something different as far as cuisine. They want to start exploring different cuisines. So
you told me they voted no more pizza and no more tacos.
Yeah, they were like, we're
they're
done.
Sick of that.
We've traditionally done like some kind of like pizza on Friday, different variations of it. And they said we're done with pizza this year. We've had it. We're done with tacos. So I'm like, okay, I hear you. So elementary is still getting some kind of pizza on Fridays because they're still excited about it. But high school is getting something a little different. We just did a Cubano sandwich for high school, which was really good.
Oh, what's that like?
So that is a sandwich with, well, I'm not sure how traditional I made it, but I think the gist of it, I had the gist, which I had pulled pork on there and ham, pickles, and mustard, and Swiss cheese. And then all the sandwiches were grilled. In my fancy combi oven. So that seemed to go over.
I want to eat
good.
At this restaurant.
Yeah, I think they like that. And then last week we did just like a crispy chicken bacon wrap. Tomorrow we're having something I just literally invented this morning, which is Italian meatball melts. I decided this morning to whip up a whole bunch of meatballs, and I'm going to put it on garlic toast with some marinara and mozzarella cheese. Next.
Are you having fun?
When I actually get to get in the kitchen and be creative about things, I do. And to bring in some more revenue into our budget, I have been making meals for teachers on Fridays. It's like a special order thing, but I get to be very creative with the menu then. And I absolutely love doing that. So we have something different every Friday, and it's always something, whatever creation I feel like making that week.
That is great. And yeah. You're just drawing from all the cuisines.
Yes.
That was really fun. Well, I've heard people who've worked at, some fast food restaurants, and it is just boring. I mean, it's the same every day, and it has to be the same, because when people go to, Hardee's or a Subway or something, they want exactly.
Sure.
And no matter where you are in the United States, if you order something, you want it to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not very much fun for the people who are cooking and preparing the meals and everything. So this is just so much more creative.
Yeah. But, and, you know, that's sort of true about school cooking, too. I mean, that was kind of the point about the standardized recipe, so that it's exactly the same every time you make it. And it doesn't allow for a lot of creativity in cooking. And, of course, every day we have a specific range that we have to meet with calories and saturated fat, and we have a specific amount of grains and a sort of specific serving size for different things. So even when you're creating recipes and being creative, you have to be mindful of these parameters.
Right.
You know,
right.
Which is definitely not something the kids are educated on. So when they say we want bigger portions, we want more of this, and well, I
they
mean
don't
just
know your restrictions for.
Right. Or yeah. Just, you know, we have to be mindful of our budget too, and we can't right. just have, you know, we can't just have a buffet every day. So it is challenging in that regard, especially with sodium limits, to how are you making food taste good?
When kids are really used to salty,
yes.
salty stuff or sweet stuff. I'm going to just take a station break, and I am talking to Jennifer Capinas, North Crawford Food Service Director at the school. Then the whole school is what? Under 500.
Yes.
Under 500 people. So this is, she has won some prizes for her recipes, competing against really big cities, really big school districts, and she has come out a winner or a second place winner. So exciting. And I just, and I want to really give credit to the person who wrote this article. Her name is Jordan Derrick, and she wrote this article for a local newspaper, the Crawford County Independent, and I read it, and that made me want to interview Jennifer. But Jordan is a senior in high school, and I mean, I was really impressed with the quality of this writing, this interviewing and reporting. Just really great. And so kudos. You know, it's just, I have met people who have graduated from one-room schools out here who have gone to be, you know, in mm-hmm. top positions in the United States. Yes. I mean, just because you went to a small school does not mean that's necessarily limiting at all.
That's absolutely true. And Jordan is amazing. She's received national attention for some of her articles, and she's absolutely incredible.
Very mature mm-hmm. journalism and writing, and mm-hmm. I was just so impressed. So I wanted to just give her a little credit for that. And so now some of the things you wanted to do, well, so did I identify the station? 91.9 FM, WDRT, Dirt Radio from the ground up. So we're interested in local things going on, and especially in the area of food. And so you're talking about portions and things like that, mm-hmm. and meeting food requirements. And, of course, we want to have sensible food requirements, although the government has changed those over the years, and we've mm-hmm. changed the food groups and the food pyramid, and, you know, now it's whole grains, and now it's no fat, and now it's, you know, we do need some fat, and, it was, you know, these things keep changing, right? And then you have not only regulations and sanitary, you know, safe food safety,
mm-hmm.
You have to train your staff, and then you also have to be concerned about price per meal. So this is a lot of restrictions to work within. Although it sounds to me like an English teacher can tell you to write poetry, what's really, you know, just free whatever isn't really poetry, but mm-hmm. to have some restrictions.
Right.
To maybe have rhyming, or to have, you know, certain rhythmic patterns or things like that. You work within that.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily stifle creativity, but it's actually, you know, creates a really good product in the end.
Yes. Well, that's what we hope for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell me about your staff training.
Yeah. So when we got this grant, the Healthy Meals Incentive Grant, we hired a company out of Milwaukee called Sustainable Kitchens, who's led by Chef Justin Johnson. And his mission is to go back to scratch cooking. That's what he's all about. So he partnered with us, and he comes to school and does culinary training. We started doing, really before the culinary training started, he started making scratch meals, and we were taste testing them with the kids. for about 6 months. And that was really exciting for the kids. We'd set up our booths in the cafeteria, and the kids would get their lunch, and then they would stop in and see what Chef Justin was making that day. And we had Mongolian beef and jambalaya, and we made little chicken biscuit sandwiches. Just everything we were making from scratch. And it was also kind of to give us an idea of gauging what the kids would like. And then his next step was culinary training, is how can we take what we have, what staff we have, and what equipment we have, and build recipes with that. And so that's been really terrific for us.
What a wonderful program, and I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Sustainable Kitchens.
Sustainable Kitchens out of Milwaukee. And he also has been working with the Seneca School District locally, too. We kind of wrote our grant together. Our grant money is separate, but we sort of applied together, saying that if Chef was coming from Milwaukee, it would benefit him to go to as many schools in the area as possible. So Seneca and North Crawford were both recipients of mm-hmm. this grant. And then with the grant, we've had, for directors, we've had some amazing training opportunities that have been all paid by this grant. We've been to St. Louis for a conference, and Las Vegas, as well as Chef and Foundation working with us one-on-one to kind of just explore issues and what things that they can do to help. We had someone on site yesterday from Action for Healthy Kids just kind of evaluate our progress with the grant and offer assistance. So it's really, really been hands-on learning for us to grow and to keep moving forward with meal quality. And really everything that we're doing within this grant has kind of been experimental. What's working, what's not. If it didn't work, what can we do? What's our next steps to make things work? And that's kind of, I think, how we need to continue right now is, you know, it's okay if a recipe didn't work. We'll learn from that. Sometimes it's okay to fail and see what's working for us and how we can price things out, what's going to work for us price-wise. A lot of times, and I think this is a weird truth, that sometimes processed foods are cheaper. We don't know why. I mean, why is that? But it's true that a lot of times processed foods are cheaper. So how can we buy locally, increase scratch cooking, and improve meal quality, but still stay in budget? And that does take a lot of forethought and creativity to figure that mm-hmm. out.
Have there been restrictions in the past that have kept you from buying locally?
Not any restrictions outside of funding issues.
So you are free, really, to contract with local producers if they have something. And you have.
Sure. And the only real restriction is it has to be from places that are USDA inspected.
Yes. Okay. You know,
which we want anyway.
Of course.
And there are some rules with procurement that we have to follow. You know, we have to be careful about not giving all our business to one person. We have to, you know, divide it up a little bit mm-hmm. to work with the procurement mm-hmm. things. But yeah, Wisconsin Department of Instruction definitely is in favor of that. And they've built a database that any school can access for farmers would love to sell to schools.
I think it makes so much sense, especially when we are in such a rich mm-hmm. farming community and vegetable and fruit growing. I mean, food, what do we want to say? I mean, produce farms mm-hmm. right in our area. And they already are very generous with their extra, you know, things, offering mm-hmm. them to food pantries and things like that. And there's a lot of seconds where you don't have the perfect pepper.
Sure.
You know, peppers can do weird things there on the vine.
Yeah.
But, you know, things that will go to a grocery store like, you know, first class, mm-hmm. and they look really good. And then there's all a lot of things. You know, we have a gleaning program here in Viroqua called Hunger Solutions, and people, a lot of food goes through the Food Enterprise Center. And these are sort of misshapen things that just taste fine, and you're just going to chop them anyway, right?
Right.
Grill them, roast them, freeze them, whatever. And so I know that the Fifth Season Co-op here at Food Enterprise Center, they were a co-op of farmers that were they had kind of, they were able to meet an, requirements such as USDA approval or something like that, and insurance and so forth that an individual farmer couldn't do, but they could do it through Fifth Season. And mm-hmm. then Fifth Season could be kind of an umbrella over these small suppliers of things. And that's the thing. I mean, if you're going to get squash from a farm, well, they might not only be able to supply you for a certain amount, then they're out.
Right.
So you want to be able to work with co-ops and larger organizations that can supply you.
Right.
You know, with things that are right. coming from the farms. Anyway, it gets very complicated.
It
to
does.
Procurement of food,
yeah.
right?
It is. It's a whole other aspect to child nutrition programs.
Right.
And we want, and I know that any food service director would probably agree with this, we're looking for minimally processed things. But sometimes because of labor issues, we need to get things that are sometimes already cut up. Like if I want to serve butternut squash, which I personally love, for us to peel butternut squash and get it chopped up, is kind of unrealistic time-wise. So sometimes we will look for people that are willing to sell it to us that way. Even though it's a little bit more expensive, we know...
That's minimal processing.
That's minimally processed, yes. We've talked to Fifth Season and UW Extension works with directors locally to kind of match us up with these kinds of things. Our kiddos really love Parmesan roasted Brussels sprouts. And they're halved, but really for us to like take the time to get everything halved, it's kind of unrealistic. So sometimes we miss out on opportunities for local produce because we can't get it the way that we need it to. And that's something that in the area that I'm hoping that producers start to understand a little bit, that when you're cooking lunch for, you know, 300, 500 people, it's sort of unrealistic for us to be able to get all that prepared. So anyone that's willing to contact us and say, hey, I have this and I can get it to you the way you need it, big
hey,
thumbs up.
I'm thinking of cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody just provided you shredded cabbage,
right.
man, that would advance things so much. So much faster.
Absolutely.
And it's a little value added from, you know, from the farmer's point of view and uh-huh. make something really marketable. That's just a great idea. And, you know, we need to talk about what is processed food? I mean, if it's just chopped or peeled or cut into wedges or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or frozen, that's different from having a list of, you know, 55
Correct.
Ingredients, most of which you can't pronounce,
mm-hmm.
and has shelf life. Shelf life actually means the stuff isn't really alive anymore.
Right.
And that's why it's not spoiling.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually, I have had that pointed out to me, that all these preservatives and things like that that go into processed foods actually interfere with digestion.
Mm-hmm.
And we may have a lot of chronic diseases just from the kind of foods that we're eating that are just over-processed, over-preserved, sit on the shelves for 4 or 5 years, and they never change. That isn't really good. Like the Hostess mm-hmm. cupcake, right? They said the
right.
Hostess cupcake was the same 5 years later,
yeah.
you know?
Yep.
I mean, that's not real food. Mm-hmm. Food is supposed to be broken down in the body.
Uh-huh.
And so if it's, you know, if it's really fresh food, it's going to spoil. I was going to ask you, too, about... when you went into, like you said, in if you get a bunch of stuff seasonally, you get a lot of produce in seasonally, and maybe your food service employees are going to process this food. They're processing it to save it, maybe till December or January or February, you know. So that means canning or freezing or drying. How do you preserve food for
yeah.
the rest of the year?
Would only be freezing for us. That's
okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was thinking, well, you know, canned tomatoes or tomato sauce, that's a wonderful pre-processed food. If you had to start from a fresh tomato, you know, take forever. And so just getting out, you know, cans
yeah.
of pre-canned tomatoes is wonderful.
Yeah, it is. And we have barbecue chicken pizza next week. We're trying something new and we're making our own barbecue sauce from tomato paste. So that's kind of it's a canned thing, but we're adding all of our own flavor to it. So,
yeah.
you know, it's mm-hmm. Sometimes there's a difference for us between scratch and speed scratch. Sometimes speed scratch is like using a can of tomato sauce, but we're adding our own locally ground beef.
Yeah.
You know, trying to make it work where we can.
Yes, this is educating the students from the ground up. Mm-hmm. It's educating the parents. They're finding out that their kids, hey, could we have a Vietnamese bowl? And they're going, what would go into that? How would I do that? I got to go talk to Jennifer. Mm-hmm. How do they make that? I have been talking with Jennifer Capinas, who is from the North Crawford School District, a little tiny school district out here in southwestern Wisconsin. What a valuable person to be on the staff there. I've really enjoyed talking with you, Jennifer, and you bring such a joy to cooking and creativity and just wanting to bring good nutrition and, you know, food adventure to your kids. Thank you so much for being on Who's in the Kitchen.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this, too.
I have enjoyed it, too. I'm Philothea Beeson. You're listening to Who's in the Kitchen. Our show is on every Saturday at noon at WDRT 91.9 FM. It's a community radio station run mainly by volunteers and supported by listeners. And so thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you again next week.